We're in our last session thinking about 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me read it for us again. It says this: "Now we know that if the earthly tent we have is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we are not found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by what is life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would be preferred to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." So over the last two sessions, as we've looked at this passage, sorry, my notes fell off here. Let me just get myself organized here again. Over the last two sessions, we've been kind of reminding ourselves of this topic, why we never need to fear death. In the first sermon, we looked at the main reason, or the first reason we never need to fear death is, friends, we've got a certain future. Our future is certain because we know about the future, because Jesus has told us about the future. He's the only one who's been there. He knows what it's like, and He's come back to tell us about the future. Nobody else, as much as fortune tellers can try to tell you about the future. You know how I know you can never trust a fortune teller? You don't find too many rich ones, do you? Every fortune teller I know is in a little caravan next to the roads. If they could tell the fortune, why don't they predict who's going to win the lotto, or predict for themselves who's going to win the lotto? Because they can't. Nobody can tell the future. Only Jesus can tell us about the future. The second reason why we have a certain future is, friends, what we have at the moment is just a tent. But Jesus said He's coming back to fetch us, to take us to be where He is, so that we may have what He has. Friends, one day we're going to have a building. We're not going to only live in a tent, because Jesus has promised to give us one. The third reason why we are certain, can be certain about the future, this passage reminds us, friends, that we were made for the purpose of spending time in eternity. And then the fourth reason why we can be certain about the future is that God has given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit. And the deposit, friends, is the guarantee for the future. God has given us His Holy Spirit. Then last week we were reminded that we never need to fear the future or fear death, friends, because, friends, the present is horrible. The present is a groan, I said last week. Friends, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the future because, as I mentioned, the present is difficult because we are full of burdens. We are burdened with responsibilities and worries and illness and care for others and grief and loss. We carry these burdens every single day. Friends, also, the present isn't so good because at the moment we are mortal. And I explained to you that the word mortal means that we are able to die. So that's what faces us at the moment. Friends, the only thing that faces us, the only thing we can be certain about, is we're going to die one day. There are a few that may not, that those are the ones that will be alive when Jesus returns. And then the third reason why life is so difficult is because the scriptures remind us that actually we're naked. Job says, nothing I brought into this world, nothing I can take out of this world. And in the end, friends, that's really the reality of life for us. Nothing, friends, there's nothing that's worth. This earth has got no value at all. You may collect all the money in the world, but you can't take a single cent with you. And then the final reason why we say the future is better, because, friends, one day we will enter the glorious presence of Jesus. At the moment, we're living mortal lives, but when we enter into heaven, we will live eternal lives forever and ever in the presence of Jesus. In the future, friends, we don't need to worry about anything because God will provide everything we need. There's nothing we will need in heaven because, friends, God is going to provide it all. And friends, when we enter into the future, we will be complete because Jesus says we will be like Him. In an instant, we'll be changed to be like Him. John writes in 1 John chapter 3, we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So, why do we fear death? We don't need to fear death, friends, because we've got a certain future. We don't need to fear death because, friends, it's much, the other side of death is much, much, much better than what we have at the present. So now that we know this, the question I want to look at today is, how should we live? What must we do with this incredible information? How are we to go about our day-to-day way? Rex Matthey, the principal of the college that I went to, always used to say, when there's a therefore, there must be a wherefore. Where there's a therefore, there must be a wherefore. In the scriptures, whenever it says therefore, friends, there must be a wherefore. And all that literally means is when we've got been given the truth, we haven't just been given the truth for the sake of having the truth. We've been given the truth so that we will live in a certain way. So what does this passage tell us about how we should live now that we know that we don't need to fear death? First of all, what should our response be? Our response, friends, first of all, should be we must always live by faith. That's what Paul is reminding us. He says in verse 6, therefore, we are confident and know that as long as we are away, are at home in the body and away from the Lord, we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and we prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. He makes it so very clear, friends. We are to live by faith and not by sight. What does living by faith mean? What does it mean we're going to live by faith? Well, friends, first of all, faith isn't blind obedience. We don't just live kind of saying, well, you know, because it's in the Bible that we're just going to, you know, follow it. Faith, friends, is confident expectation. That's what faith is. So that's why Paul starts in verse 6. We are always confident about the future. And then in verse 7, we live by faith. seems crazy. Because when you have faith, a lot of people say, how can you be confident when you've got faith? Friends, we can be confident when we have faith because our faith is in something which inspires confidence. Is our confidence in the government? I don't think so, is it? Is our confidence in our money? It can't be, can it? Because our money is here today and gone tomorrow. Is our confidence in our health? Well, you'll very quickly realize when you get older, your confidence can't be in your health. Friend, your confidence can only be in something that is absolutely certain. And that's why Paul spoke about he is confident, although he lives by faith, because his faith was in Jesus, friends. Jesus who never failed, Jesus who never disappointed, Jesus who fulfilled every single promise, friends, that he ever made. Jesus, friends, who, while he died, rose again. We never need to be concerned about the future because our confidence, friends, is in one who inspires confidence. The Bible is full of examples of people who were confident in God. Let me just give you two. First one is David. Listen to what he says in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold in life. Whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident, he says. One thing I ask of the Lord, that is what I seek. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and will set my feet upon a rock. You see, that's confidence. Did everything go well with David? No, friends. He faced lots of troubles. His own family rebelled against him. He constantly had attacks from the nations around him. He even failed himself, friends. But in the end, he could say, I have confidence in God because God is the one who saves me and who keeps me strong. Isaiah reminds us too, friends, that when we can have confidence, he reminds us of what the Lord says. He says, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. That's faith, friends. We must live by faith. We live by faith, friends, not because we just blindly obey God. We live by faith, friends, because God has proven faithful in the past and God will prove faithful in the future. But faith, friends, also reminds us that when we live by faith, we're still living in a fallen world. Because in a fallen world, friend, you still need faith. We don't need faith when we get to heaven. Because our faith will be realized in the presence of God. You don't need faith at that point in time. So what Paul is saying is that while you're on earth, you need faith. And while you need faith, you realize you're still on earth. What he says in verse 6, we know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Friends, that's the reality. Why do we live by faith? Because, friends, we're away from the Lord. We've got to live like people with common sense. And thirdly, living by faith, friends, is living with eternity in mind. Verse 8, Paul says, we are confident, I say, and would we prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So how must you live, friend? What must you do with the fact that, you know, we can be confident about the future? Friend, live with eternity in mind, but live with confidence in the present. That's my encouragement to you today. A lot of Christians have ups and downs all the time. They're uncertain about the future. They wonder whether the further future is really true. But friends, the Apostle Paul is reminding us very clearly, while we live by faith, we can still live confidently because our faith is in one who is faithful. Our faith is in one who is trustworthy. Our faith is in one who will never fail us. So how else should we live? Not only should we live by faith, but second thing that we are told in this passage is that while we are still living on this side of eternity, we have one goal. We have one purpose, and our purpose is to please God. Verse 9, he says it so clearly. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We make it our goal to please God. Let me ask you, what drives you? What's your purpose in life? Well, friend, Paul is reminding us to make it our goal to please Him for three reasons. First one, friends, is our goal is to please God because, friends, it's when we are living like that, we are living a life of integrity. What's integrity? Integrity is what you do when nobody is watching. Paul makes it so very clear, friends. Whatever you're doing, let me ask you, what kind of life are you living? Are you, when you come to church, people think, oh, you're such a wonderful person. But behind closed doors, friends, you are a very another kind of person. Friends, our goal, our purpose, our vision, our determination, everything we do on earth should be to please Jesus at all times. Why? Well, the second reason why we make it our goal to please Him is Paul makes it very clear. He says, each of us is going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. A lot of Christians have the idea that once they've accepted Jesus, that they will no longer be judged when they get to heaven. Now, let me tell you, you will not be judged in terms of your salvation. Because, friends, Jesus has paid the penalty. Your salvation doesn't depend upon you. Your salvation doesn't depend upon your good works. Your salvation doesn't depend on how much you've earned to get to heaven. But you will still stand before God. Because, friends, every being will stand before God. So what are we going to be judged about? We're going to be judged about what we have done with what God has given us. Jesus told a parable one day. It's called the parable of the talents. You remember that parable? The parable of the talents goes something like this. One day the owner of a farm left to go on a journey. And when he left to go on the journey, he gave one of the servants one talent. He gave another of the servants five talents. And he gave the third of the servants 10 talents. And he went off away to do his business. And then after a while, he came back. And he discovered that the one had 10 talents had doubled the talents and now had 20. And Jesus says to that one, well done, good and faithful servant. And then he goes to the one who had 5. And the one who had 5 now had 10. And he says to that one, well done, good and faithful servant. Then he goes to the one who's got 1. That one says to the owner, he says, I didn't do anything with what you gave me. I stuck it under the ground. I hid it away because I was afraid of using it or losing it. So I hid it away until you came back, and then I dug it out again. And Jared is giving it back to you. And Jesus, friends, says the master was very angry with the one who had been given something but had done nothing about it. That's the judgment we're going to face, friends. The judgment of the talent. Not everybody is given 10 talents. Some people are given much by God. Some people are given less by God. And some people are just given 1 thing by God. Friend, it doesn't matter how talented you are. Whether you've got 10 talents, 5 talents, 100 talents, 1 million talents, 1 billion talents, friends. God wants to know what you are doing with what he gave you. Stop comparing yourself to somebody else. Stop saying, I can't do what somebody else is doing because they've got more than I have. Friend, God isn't interested in comparison. God is only interested in what you are doing with what he gave you. That's the judgment we will face. One day when we stand before Jesus, he's going to ask you, what have you done with what I gave you? Make it your goal to please him. Stop trying to please others. Stop trying to do what other people are doing. Stop being jealous of other people who may have more than you have. Friend, use what God has given you for God's glory. And in the end, you will receive what God has for you. And that's the third reason why we make it our goal to please him. Friends, because one day in heaven, we will receive a reward. Oh, you say, well, let me say, first of all, it's reward enough to be in heaven. But let me ask you, do you think Billy Graham is going to sit in the same area that you're sitting? There were 2 great preachers from the past, great men of God. God was using them in a mighty way. And there was a little bit of competition between them. Wesley And the other one, names that elude me at the moment. One day they asked Wesley, do you think that other preacher is going to be in heaven? Do you think you're going to see him in heaven? No, not Spurgeon. Wesley and Whitfield. It could have been Whitfield. God, somebody asked Wesley, do you think Whitfield's going to be in heaven? Do you think you're going to see him there? And Wesley said, oh, I don't think so. The person was quite shocked. And Wesley said, I think he's going to be so far ahead of me that I will not be able to see him. You see, friends, God's asking you what you're doing with him, and he will reward you for what you have done. Listen to what the scripture says. Jesus says in Matthew 5, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, don't store up for yourself treasures, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust, for their thieves don't break in and steal it. 1 Corinthians 3, if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. 2 Timothy chapter 4, for those who have loved his appearing, the Lord, the righteous judge, he will give on that day, and not only to me, but also to those who have loved his appearance. 1 Peter chapter 5, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he will reward those who diligently seek him. Friends, the Bible is full of verses about the rewards we will receive in heaven. Now you may just want to go to heaven, but friends, heaven is going to be so much more than just being there. You remember, even the disciples debated who would sit on the left and the right hand side of Jesus. What are you looking forward to? Are you wanting to get to heaven just by the skin of your teeth? No, friend. How should we live? Friend, we must live by faith while we are on earth. But we must live with a knowledge that we will be judged. And once we've been judged, we will receive a reward. What's motivating you? Stop running after earthly rewards, friends. Jesus made it very clear, moth and rust are going to eat them away. You can't take any of the rewards you receive on earth with you into eternity. Therefore, the Bible tells us, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. So how should we live? Live by faith and make it your goal to please him. Because we know we're going there. I know I'm going there. I want to make sure that when I get there, I have the full experience of heaven that God intends for me to have. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to live by faith. Sometimes, Lord, we take our eyes off you. Sometimes we want to try and manipulate our own things. But Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you at all times, to make sure, Lord, that we are living in confidence of what you have done for us. But Lord, remind us constantly that one day we're going to face you as a judge. Help us to do the best, Lord, with what you have given us, so that glory and honor may be brought to your name. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.